Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. These are the words that our Lord God spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. These words are right and true, for it is true that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. By these words, our Lord tells us that his judgment is right and true. Yet even in his judgment, he has sent his Son. And by the sending of his Son, he takes our sins upon himself and carries those sins to his cross. Tonight, with the imposition of ashes, you will be receiving dust upon your forehead. Although that dust will be made in the sign of a cross to remind us that all of our sin has been carried to the cross and that our sin is forgiven. The imposition of ashes will follow the same order as we do with Holy Communion, beginning here on the lectern side. During the imposition, we will sing hymn 166, and then after the imposition, there will be a short moment of silence. You may be seated as I now invite you to come forward for the imposition of ashes. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. You may return to your seats. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. You may return to your seats. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. You may return to your seats. Please rise for the confession of sins beginning on page 15. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you all, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The Ash Wednesday responsive introit is found printed on your worship folder. Surely I was sinful at birth.
Sinful from the time my mother conceived.
Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean.
Wash me, and I will be white as snow.
Hear me, joy and gladness. O Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Psalm 51, which is a responsive psalm, is printed on the back cover of your worship folder. Have mercy on me, O God.
According to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy.
Blot out my
transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. For I know my transgressions.
And my sins ever before me.
Against you, you only, have I sinned.
And done what is evil in your sight.
So that you may be justified in your words.
And blameless in your judgment.
Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity.
And
behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean.
Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Let me hear joy and gladness.
Let the bones that you have broken rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins.
And blot out my
Create in me a clean heart, O God. Cast me not away from your presence.
And take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with the Holy Spirit.
Then I will teach transgressors your ways.
And sinners will return to you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing you have made and forgive the sins of all who are repenting. Create in us new and contrite hearts, that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading for this Ash Wednesday is written in the second chapter of Joel. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering, and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Here ends the reading. The epistle is written in the book of 2 Corinthians, the 5th and 6th chapter. Brethren, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. Here ends the reading. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is written in the sixth chapter of St. Matthew, beginning at the first verse. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, as your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Here endeth the gospel. We now confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, as found printed on page 22. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated for the hymn of the day. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this evening is from the Old Testament lesson from the second chapter of Joel. And tonight we hear, "Return to the Lord your God. Return to the Lord your God." Please be seated. Return to the Lord your God. This is the drumbeat of our Lenten midweek services this year. Return, return, return. We will hear God calling, return to prayer, return from betrayal, return from false witness, return from denial, return to the kingdom of God, return to the table, return to truth, return to the church, return and see what God has done for each of you. As you attend our Wednesday midweek Lenten services, you'll hear those themes expressed through the preaching of various books from Holy Scripture. Yet this evening, you'll hear Joel's prophecy and God's invitation to us. Our Old Testament reading for Ash Wednesday, as you have heard read, is from the second chapter of Joel. And Joel orients us to the Lenten season. Joel highlights the problem, and then Joel provides a solution in all of its beauty and simplicity. God calls you and me to return to him and him alone. And he will address these needs for us not only tonight, but through the rest of our midweek Lenten services. He will tell us that he will provide all of our needs and that he also provides for our greater need, the forgiveness of our sins and life and salvation. So our task this evening is simple and it's very straightforward. There are three things that we will look at tonight. First, we will look at Joel's prophecy and its context. What's going on? How did God's word speak to the situation? And how might that have sounded to the people of Israel? Secondly, we will ponder, does this prophecy apply to us? Are these words only for the Israelites of Joel's day, or is our Lord's prophecy also directed towards each of us? Finally, we hear our Lord's invitation and promises. We will spend some time getting oriented to how we walk this path, this Lenten path, which will finally end at the foot of our Lord's cross. Let's begin this evening by doing a little time travel first as we go back to ancient Israel so that we may get a more clear picture, a more clear idea of the people to whom Joel was speaking, and so that we can understand more about what was going on in their world. My dear brother and sister, we know very little about the prophet Joel. We know that he was a prophet that God called and sent to minister to the southern kingdom, Judah. The book that bears his name is rather short. There are only 73 verses organized into three chapters. But this book of Joel, it is very, very rich. It is very, very deep, and it is very, very complex. Joel's jumping-off point is the beginning of our text this evening. And he begins talking about a plague of locusts that would strike Judah, and that would serve as a foreshadowing of the coming day of the Lord. Whether the plague of locusts was literal or if it was figurative isn't really clear. But Joel's message for us and for them was very straightforward. A day of judgment will come. And he, Joel, pleads with the people to turn, or should I say, return to their Lord God, so that they would be found righteous on that great and awesome day. Now, the outline of Joel's prophecy is actually also in three parts. The first part of his prophecy is that invasion of locusts that will destroy everything. Joel calls the people, as you have heard, to a solemn fast to the temple. And there they are to offer prayers of lament, for the day of destruction is at hand. The second part, if you thought that the day of destruction was bad, there's a day that is coming that is even more horrific. The day of the Lord is coming. It is near, Joel writes. Joel describes the Lord's army using the imagery of destroying locusts. He issues a call to return to the Lord and to fast and to pray. And last, the third part. God responds. First, God responds to the coming plague. And he offers healing. And he offers restoration. Then on a much larger scale, God responds in the day of the Lord, giving salvation to all who call upon his name. And he passes judgment on the worldly nations and all of those who acted wickedly towards his dear children. Our text this evening is actually taken from the very center of Joel's book. The imagery of the swarm of locusts, the compassion of the Lord's army, the day of the Lord that is coming, it's been made. And the reader, the Israelite then, and we today, we are left wondering as we hear of all of this death and destruction. We are wondering, what can be done? What can be done? My dear brother and sister, it's very close to the encounter that Jesus had with a rich young man. You all know this story quite well. A rich young man approaches Jesus and he asks Jesus what good deed that he must do so that he can earn everlasting life. So Jesus looks at him with great compassion and he tells him, oh, it's very simple. All you have to do is sell all of your possessions, give all of the money to the poor, and then come, follow me. You see, Jesus cuts to the heart of the matter. The rich young man was idolizing his money. His true God wasn't Yahweh. His true God was his bank account and all of the possessions that he had. Well, we know what happens. The young man, downcast, slinks away from Jesus. So Jesus turns to his disciples and he explains to them just how difficult it is for someone with great wealth to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You also know this well. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples, they were greatly astonished at this, and they said, who then can be saved? You almost hear Joel's audience asking the very same question this evening. Who then can be saved? Hence, with this question, Joel brings good news. He proclaims a promise of God God is actually speaking through Joel, and he says, "It shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." They needed only to return to the Lord. Return to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. They only needed to stop trusting in themselves, stop trusting in their wealth, stop trusting in the things of this world. Just stop and return to the Lord and trust in him and him alone. They needed to realize that just as they couldn't stop the swarming locusts, neither would they be able to prevent the day of judgment. It will come. It will come, my dear brother and sister. And the only solution that we have is to return to the Lord. Now the question is this. Is this prophecy of Joel, is it only for the Israelites? Might each of us be facing a swarm of locusts that threatens to completely destroy us? The answer is clear. We certainly are. There are small, unassuming little things that each of us do a little bit of each day, and they cause great damage. Just like that small little insect, a locust, by itself, it does a little bit of damage, but you add it up with all of that swarm of locusts, and that swarm of locusts is a destructive force that descends on the landscape and decimates everything, everything that is good and right and decent. Your sins, my sins, they are our locusts. While one little locust doesn't seem to be all that terrifying, when the entire list of your sins and my sins are considered, it is breathtaking and it is terrifying. You know this and I know this. The wages of sin is death. Ezekiel writes, "The soul who sins shall die." Who then can be saved? Joel's words can and should hit you the very same way that they hit the Israelites. The day of the Lord will come with immense destruction and terror. Left in our unrepentant sin, we have no escape. The swarm of locusts, destruction of all vegetation, is the least of our worries. The great worry, the great destruction before those unrepentant sins is eternal death and damnation. And that, dear one, should absolutely terrify you. Yet, Joel brings good news. He brings a promise. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Return to the Lord your God. Return to your Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. Dear one, in spite of your sinful rejection of God, he invites each of you to return to him. And he promises to bless each and every one of you. Stop trusting in yourself. Stop trusting in the world. Stop trusting in the evil one. They are all liars, and in them there is no salvation. Look to your God. Know that you cannot stop the swarming locusts, and you cannot prevent the coming day of judgment. Oh, it will come. You've already heard this over and over again now. It will come. The only solution, yes, is to return to the Lord. Therefore, over the coming midweek services, we will explore more deeply how God calls us to return to Him and how that will play out in our lives as we go forward. And we'll do this by walking the very steps of the disciples and all those who accompanied Jesus in His final days of life as He entered into Jerusalem and finally walked up the Mount of Golgotha. We will hear the call to return to the Lord, just as it echoed in the ears of the Israelites. This year it will also echo in our ears. Return to the Lord. For example, next Wednesday we will spend a little time with Peter, James, and John as they accompany Jesus, not up to the Mount of Transfiguration, did that already. This time we will walk with them up the Mount of Olives and into the Garden of Gethsemane. The theme for our Lenten Midweek 1 service is to return to prayer. And similar themes will follow through the following Wednesdays. Yet now this evening, right now, we conclude with an invitation. An invitation from your pastor to please to come and to hear. Hear how we are to return to our Lord. And tonight we join together. We join together to listen to God call to us. And He is calling to us. He is always calling to us to return to Him. For He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And now, dear one, He calls to you to come, to eat, and to drink for the strengthening of your faith unto life and salvation and for the forgiveness of all your sins. Your Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the offering. Please rise for our responsive prayer as found printed on our worship folder. Oh God, You call us to turn from sin and to live in the joy and freedom of the kingdom of Your Son. You constantly invite us to receive the forgiveness earned through the merits of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Break our hearts of stone and give to each of us hearts of flesh. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you call people everywhere to work for the good of all humanity. Empower the leaders of this nation to be ambassadors of mercy. Lord, in your mercy. O God, grant compassion on all who minister to the sick and infirm, medical professionals and all caregivers. Show your mercy to those who are ill within this congregation and bring them peace of mind and heart. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you call us to turn from our sin and to live for you alone. Guide us through these 40 days of Lent to a fuller appreciation of your baptismal grace. Lord, in your mercy. We will now continue with the order of the Holy Communion, beginning with the preface as found printed on the bottom of page 24. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, hence life also might arise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome. Through Christ our Lord, through whom with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thomas, take heed. This is the very body of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ given for you. Thomas, take, drink, this is the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. His body and blood now strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. You can give me, it's okay. Give them about, maybe about 30 seconds, and sure. Then you follow me.
Okay. Do they put it back in? No, they take it.
No, they take it, yeah. And then you want to stand on this side over here. So. You're good. Take heed, this is the true body of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ given for you. Take heed, this is the true body of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ given for you. Take heed, this is the true body of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ given for you. Take heed, this is the true body of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ given for you. Take heed, this is the true body of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ given for you. Stephanie, take drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed for you for the remission of all your sin. Tim, take drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed for you for the remission of all your sin. His body and blood now strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Savior Jesus Christ shed for you for the remission of all your sin. Davida, take, drink, this is the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed for you for the remission of all your sin. His body and blood now strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. This is the true body of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ given for you. Take heed, this is the true body of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ given for you. Take heed, this is the true body of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ given for you. Take heed, this is the true body of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ given for you. And blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed for you for the remission of all your sin. Body, take, drink this of the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed for you for the remission of all your sin. Kindle, take, drink this of the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed for you for the remission of all your sin. Jake, take, drink this of the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed for you for the remission of all your sin. Robert, take, drink this of the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed for you for the remission of all your sin. His body and blood now strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Body and blood now strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Please rise as we join together in singing the Nunc Dimittis as found on page 29. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us to this salutary gift, and we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldest strengthen us to the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.